Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight. And that's just me complimenting my our very state of the art work of a piece of work jingle. Yeah. So for those of you that just tuned in, or for those of you that have been wondering, oh, okay, what's going on? Why haven't this guy started? That was the voice you were listening to. For those of you that have been living under a rock, that is the voice of our finance minister. That's Erica Shifuda giving us the midterm budget review. You know, what have we done? How much of it have we accomplished? And what are the challenges in the way? And for those of us that were watching that thing, we saw the smile in the minister's face. And she's, you know, I know she didn't say it, but she was giving, "I'm so proud of us" vibes.
Look, it's her first,
what do you call this thing? Midterm budget review. And obviously, you know, there's going to be a little bit of, I don't want to say that the minister has tried a hand at showmanship. Obviously, she's trying to love. Okay, I can't also compare that way because the previous minister himself literally pulled out all the stops. Obviously not giving kudos to former Minister Shimi because literally he showed up there with a school band, a school group. What was it last year? It was, elderly people to showcase, you know, the societal.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. No. The previous one. No. So it was the society. Okay, it was like the elderly announcement last year, in terms of we highlighted the additional changes to the conditional grants that the government has, those particular welfare mechanisms. And then the budget announcement at the start of last year, he showed up with this note, it was the previous year. He showed up with the school kids, and then he showed up with school kids again last year. And obviously he's, you know, been highlighting all these particular, if I can call it sort of like, what do they call it? What's that word? When you use images, man, not words, but when you use images to,
what, PowerPoint?
No. No.
When you're using images.
Instead of writing a speech, you first have a theatrical performance to showcase. To showcase something, and then you go with the flow of the things, and everybody's like, "Oh, okay, nice presentation. Yeah, you get 10 out of 10. There's your gold star, but now I have to see the things working." So, you know, obviously, former Minister Shimi, you know, obviously went very high with that particular bar.
Yeah.
So, obviously, Minister Shafuda now, current incumbent, had to obviously give also a type of a report card situation. And we heard some of the report card aspects at the end of the speech, specifically like the adjustment that had to be done. She cited some details on actual revenue, on actual expenditure, as well as also on the actual deficit, debt stock, interest payments, and so forth. And yes, I mean, these are the things obviously that she has to do as a minister. She has to come through and go through the whole particular process so that you are aware as a country. However, it's at the notion in terms of the development budget, because we wrote about it, Helmut, last week. We had it in the e-paper. And there's obviously also an announcement there, but primarily about the Ministry of Agriculture, that would obviously, you know, have certain particular projections, and these particular projections are based upon the green schemes.
Yeah.
What is obviously envisaged for them to be performing at the level. So that is a kind of a manifestation in terms of efforts that have taken place. But there's obviously, I just want to say there's obviously a particular scenario that she fixed on specifically, and that was the notion in terms of the tax policy reforms that she cited, where she stated here that the Namibian government is poised to implement a series of tax reforms designed to bolster both competitiveness and fairness within the economy, and that these initiatives align with global trends that advocate for increased tax to GDP ratios to facilitate economic growth and promote reduced inequality through a progressive taxation framework. Now, progressive taxation, the word progressive technically means, it obviously means the word advance. Regressive obviously means it, you know, it falls away.
Okay, now you are spinning my English. Progressive means advanced,
advancing,
not gradual.
Well,
jeez, okay.
The gradual aspect of it would obviously be associated in, let's for example say how much money you earn as you earn more money.
Yeah.
And then it progresses. So as you earn more money, your tax bracket
also
moves with you.
Yeah.
So, that obviously speaks to something, but it didn't clearly state progressive to who? Progressive to you and me, the guy on the ground, or progressive to a large multinational company that's operating in Namibia's borders?
So the difference between income and corporate tax?
That too, or company tax as well.
Yeah.
She cited obviously also that the Income Tax Amendment Bill of 2025, which is also something that's on the cards as well, a discussion there, which includes 10 proposals that were previously announced, that alongside the Procurement Amendment Bill that we spoke about last week.
No, that's still my favorite to this day.
Remember, she gave in her submitted proposal as a minister on what amendments should be done to the Procurement Bill, to the Procurement Act.
Yeah.
And that obviously is an advancement or an update from the submission for proposal to change things at the start of the year
by the former minister.
So you can obviously see also there's a lot of things in the pipeline regarding the tax laws and all these particular discussions. But here's the question once again, Helmut. Regarding these tax reforms and things like these and discussions like that, if we come to the discussion primarily on yesterday's talk about triple P's, and the foundation literature that we used for our discussion, which was based upon an opinion piece that was in the e-villager Yellis yesterday. If you did not read that opinion piece yet, dear listeners, and also before we forget, you still have the opportunity, dear listeners, to call through, participate in the discussion, obviously regarding the midterm budget review announcement that Minister Shafuda made. As well as also, you know, citing your particular, your point of view. Obviously we're asking you, you know, to keep that within a pretty, humane manner. What you saw, what you heard, what you feel. There's also a few updates that we provided on our socials, but still, you can still call through and participate at 083-288-4001. Now,
I was this close to saying that in Afrikaans, but go on.
When you had to look at that opinion piece, the second half of the particular dispute that exists between the private sector and ministry, which is obviously one of the highest offices in public sector, was based upon a basic thing of allowing a private sector company to basically register or comply with the registration process for this product to be sold into Namibia because the product is already being exported out of Namibia. Now, besides tax reforms, besides procurement act amendments, the actual discussion on the ground, Helmut, is the role about doing ease of business or the ease of business in this country.
Yeah.
We've also done the ease of business in this country discussion where we would go through a whole, you know, sort of like a PowerPoint presentation about historical impacts and stuff like that and situations like that. And we're obviously not trying to resuscitate that conversation, but this has to build up to ease of doing business discussions. Ease of doing business discussions are based upon, okay, how easy is it for a Namibian to start a business. Recently, there was an announcement that came through that I saw, of one of the, I think it's Ministry of Mines.
Yeah.
Yesterday or the day before about rolling out a certain particular project for starting businesses in a specific aspect. Obviously, you remember I still made the particular joke about they've got they now have industry in their name, but they're predominantly primary industry focused. How are they going to help, you know, help the whole process lead up to industry, you know, being, you know, the secondary, tertiary industry development aspect of that name? Because the word industry is a pretty big and a pretty broad term.
Broad, yeah.
Yeah. So, in that scenario, we obviously sit here with a conversation of, okay, she made certain announcements based upon how far has this and this particular development, which is the development budget implementation, the particular developments on the cards in terms of amendments to legislation coming about. And you've got to ask the question in terms of, okay, it's still year one. We're halfway through this particular budgetary cycle. They obviously recently came out about the announcement that there's a freeze in appointments of government positions. But she just announced that there will be an allocation of money for appointments to the education ministry. So you sit also with that seesaw. You know, it's is it on or is it off situation going about? Because now you hear from the minister herself, which just last week you heard there's a freeze in appointments. So you see certain positives. What do the positives look like? But I'll still tell you, Helmut, here's the thing. The unfortunate thing is the government has to appoint a lot more people.
Yeah.
Everyone can see it. The government has to appoint a lot more people. And I know cash is tight. And I know the her own executive director, Minister Shifura's own executive director, Mr. Hamuvindu, has said before, you can only do so much with the amount of budget and money that you have at your disposal. So I know this, that they literally have to work with who's got priority now, who doesn't. So it technically becomes a what's that game we used to play? Inky Pinky Ponky game, you know, or Eeny Meeny Miny Mo.
Jeez. Okay, first, I think, the ease of doing business, you know, now that you mentioned it, because when you say the ease of, the ease of doing business, it can, you make it sound, somewhat very easy until you begin to realize that, everything that everything that you'll implement and put in the pipeline of more, every time that you discuss and put in the pipeline of implementing on a national level is going to demand, a few, one thing that is very common to pretty much everything that you want to implement, whether it's in tech, agriculture, health, health, you name it. It it starts with why would you want to implement it?
Yeah.
Is it something that's why do you want to implement it? Do you have the skills? I think that's where the discussions of local content policy comes in, and that takes you now to the bedrock, the foundation of everything that you want to everything any country want to implement policies.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, if it's beneficial to Namibia and you want to implement it to Namibia, what type of policies is it going to need? Because copying and pasting, as we have seen in a lot of things that we have basically adopted, doesn't work very well. So, does it work for Namibian? What type of policy does it require? What type of skills do you need? And, and most importantly, the money. Do you have it? For me, the minister said, the Minister of Finance in the midterm budget review said a lot of things in focusing on the basically key areas. We're talking education, agriculture, energy, you name it. Now, I'm not sure what type of irrigation systems we are using, but, this green scheme report, and, I owe a lot of green schemes an apology because I've been calling you guys brown schemes for a very long time. Now, a lot of them were brown for a very long time. Now, the minister's speech seems
once again in name, ne?
yeah, I know. just, you know, in name. Now, once again, the minister seems to, you know, seemed to point out that, there is some kind of, food insecurity combating progress that we are doing as a country. She did mention, well, a Tunda Green Scheme in the Omsati region, and they have a Sikondo Green Scheme in the Kavango West region, and Donga Linena, that's Kavango East region. And now, Etunda produced 3,600 tons of maize harvested from 450 hectares. And one thing they all have in common is wheat.
So they're trying to up wheat production.
Yeah.
But then there's also the potato production, because remember last week we had the Agronomic Board, Namibia Agronomic Board people here, who cited that we need to increase, there's an active scheme that they're running now to increase potato production. Because potatoes are our most consumed product.
Yeah.
So now they're trying to emphasize wheat, a grain.
Okay, look, but it's totally understandable why potato is our most consumed product, because we eat it in a lot of things. Your street wises can't go very well without potatoes.
Of course.
And then you have,
your regular, you know, corner shop,
those ones.
Portion of chips. Oh, I wanted to say Porsche chips.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to use the bad Afrikaans joke. I don't want to use.
Poiki?
No.
Potatoes?
No.
Chips, potatoes. Street wise, basically, and you have a salad.
Yeah.
Potatoes.
And you have hotels and restaurants who use potatoes. And the delis inside the supermarkets that make potato-based foods. Potatoes are very prevalent, very high in nutrition.
We need different variants because, we don't want to end up with a...
with what? Potato blight.
Yeah. Thank you for coming up with a clean word. Mine would have been...
No, but potato blight is the actual fungal... disease that attacks potatoes.
Yeah.
That's what happened to Ireland.
Because they only had one dominant,
They were also just growing potatoes. They were supposed to diversify. This was the fault. And obviously because back then.
And also the English didn't help in that case.
Yeah. You know, obviously most of the landowners were British. So yeah.
If you think colonizing is about black people, there's a story of white people colonizing white people. Sorry, this is not mine, the gap. Anyway, green schemes. One thing that the three green schemes that I've noticed that were pointed out by the, you know, pointed out by the minister with regards to the progress that they have, that they have made is that one thing they all have in common is wheat. Take a Tunda Green Scheme in the Omsati region produced 3,600 tons of maize from 450 hectares, wheat 480 tons from 120 hectares, potato 600 tons. Jeez, it's not the highest. The highest is onions with 660 tons from 15 hectares. Man, potatoes. I mean onions. Do you have if you're harvesting 660 tons?
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. So, 660 tons from 15 hectares. And, of course, I'm doing a comparison from all the produce that, different produce that's mentioned here. And the amount in tonnage that was produced and the hectares in terms of surface, the land in terms of surface area that was used. And Etunda Green Scheme produced 480 tons of wheat. From 120 hectares, Secondo, a green scheme produced six tons per 120 hectares. Did we just take it personal after the whole wheat problem during the early days of the Russia-Ukraine war? We had wheat problems, so we decided we are going into this wheat thing. Now, Ndongali Nena produced 2,520 tons of wheat. So you have wheat and all three green schemes. And and you have maize in Etunda and in Ndongali Nena, and Secondo only has Secondo doesn't seem to have any doesn't seem to have any maize. So seems like we are going hard on wheat.
Yeah, and then obviously
Is it one of those produce that we seem to be eating more? Because
if you can maintain,
what do we use it for? Bread.
Wheat, in many cases, you find it in bread, you find it in your pastas, yeah. Or is it grain? But one of the two, because you can get...
Your wheat bits?
No. Wheat bix comes from... Yeah, you're right, but we don't produce wheat bix in Namibia. Because the brand itself, wheat bix, is not actually South African. I think it's British or Australian. It's not even American.
Of course it is.
Because that's a grain, whole wheat grain. Yeah, it's wheat. Yeah, you're right. Because it's a whole wheat.
Whole wheat.
Yeah.
No wonder it made me too hungry 5 minutes after eating a whole box.
Yeah, because you just basically, your body's just absorbing the water.
Yeah, yeah.
Your body can't absorb anything from that thing.
I know you've told me like 1,000 times. Yeah, like, what
just,
all
it does is just fly through. Yeah. Whee!
You're eating a janitor. You just...
A what?
Nothing.
And I would have understood if you said you're eating just air. I would have understood that. I don't know. No, I wouldn't. But yeah, so obviously wheat is something similar to like potatoes where you can find it in multiple applications. But here's the thing. If you think about potatoes, you eat potatoes directly.
Yeah.
You have direct consumption on multiple levels. Or you have like extended direct consumption levels through much. So, trying to understand the minister's reference specifically to like agriculture's particular role in ensuring that these green schemes, which were formerly, according to you, Hamut, a bunch of brown schemes, to work, is obviously means that there's now probably direct micromanagement taking place on these green schemes.
Mm-hmm.
So as to make them literally produce, by all means. The question is still that I would like to pose here is, we obviously see that, the food security discussion is something that we are trying our best to avoid. I found out, Helmut, by just obviously, understanding and watching things extensively. It is a good thing that we emphasize that these green schemes now ultimately play their part in, trying to alleviate food insecurity.
Yeah.
The discussion that is not sitting very well with me is a conversation by just the basic exercise that I did with last week's engagement on the China corner with the Ambassador Zhao Weiping here, and trying to understand, if you had to look at rural development in that country in China, what would Namibia also have to try and do for rural development in Namibia?
Like to emulate.
Exactly. The type of emulation that we've got to follow. Because you have a lot of civil society on the ground trying to provide rural development in their own safe way. Let's take out the word safe. In their own way, because the discussion is to allow them to leverage the natural resources at their disposal. To make them the custodians of that natural resources and allowing them to ultimately generate livelihoods, meaning generate livable incomes that they can live off for the activity they're participating in. But here's the thing. You will not be able to stop their kid, their child, who would say, you know what, I still want to go to the bright lights in the city and the towns in the country because services are provided there. And from what I've seen, specifically in the speech of the minister that we have now in front of us, she's not citing much in, you know, what further service provision developments are going to take place. Just for example, to state, because once again in the e-villager, last week we had the article of the 30%, less than 30% development budget rollout. And remember, the development budget rollout was that 1,100-page thing that you and I went through at the start of the year. Versus the operational budget, which is the 270-something-page thing, document. Sorry, guys, not thing, document. That fits into the same expenditure framework that the government is going to follow for the same three financial years, because it's 2025 to 2026, 2026 to 2027, set 27 to 28. The 276-page one is purely just operational stuff, just to say, paying salaries, paying this, paying S&T, paying that, ensuring that these things are running and the copy paper of Rototrim is running smoothly through your copy machine and printer in the office.
Yeah.
That's it. That's why it's 276 pages. It's purely operational. But when you come to the development budget thing, 9 billion, Helmut, Namibian dollars. 9 billion. Okay. Yes, in our context, in my context, even personally, 9 billion, it's a big number. Namibian dollars, I would go, it's 9 billion Namdol. However, to state that only less than 30% of 9 billion of the development budget had been implemented, had been spent, had been activated through local procurement across the country, equates to 2.7 billion Namibian dollars, Hamun. We're in October, and just like I counted last week, how many months do we technically have left? You have the whole of November. You can basically discount the whole of December as a whole holiday month, because somewhere in government, things just go quiet.
Yeah.
Half of January, and then February. Because by end of March, all invoices have to balance. All invoices need to be paid that were obviously submitted for procurement, you know, purposes and stuff like that from the private sector, which is our PPP discussion of yesterday. And then the financial year closes. So technically, this month is done. It's just November and just February. Just November, half of Jan, just February.
Because now, March you have 2026, 2027.
Exactly. Now, what happens then, Helmut, to the other, let's say, minus the 9.2? What happens to the other...
back to Treasury?
That's 920 million. What happens to the other 6.4 billion? Obviously, it bounces back to Treasury. And obviously, then it gets recycled into a new speech at the end of March to say, hey, Owens, it's Christmas for the new...
That's how much we have gotten.
So now we put that 6.4 we couldn't spend alongside the next 9 point something billion, and here you go. Because remember, Helmut, this money is just sitting there.
Yeah.
The projects just have to be advertised. The markets have to be introduced. And tomorrow, that forum thing that I spoke about yesterday, that public-private forum discussion, which also the opinion piece cited, is going to start tomorrow, which is going to be the bedrock of public sector and private sector coming together, joining hands and saying, hey, listen, let's lead Namibia into a new dawn. But there's only a month, 2 months and a half left of procurement between private sector and public sector.
I think this emphasizes the significance of the discussion around the amendments of the Procurement Act.
Yeah.
Yeah, because again, we are trying to balance the seesaw of regulating to make sure that money does not disappear in thin air. And also, it turns out human beings, we, at some point when no one is looking, we all develop, you know, all of a sudden the fingers just, experience exponential growth.
You mean growth, or they start secreting some sort of a sticky substance that allows them to magically become Spider-Man?
Uh-huh.
But with money.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then,
we should drop our imaginations now.
The money is just, whisked to some companies that produce iPhones with two SIM cards. Now, or Lambos in blue. So we're trying to balance between, so this, amendments of the Procurement Act You know, it's more highlighted in the lack of expenditure in development budget, especially when you're looking, because you have to understand, it's 9 billion, and you are talking about mid-term budget review when you still have 6 billion of it, and you know, just sitting there waiting for all the proper regulations to be put in place, you know, for you to spend it using the right channels.
Yeah.
Now, at this point, that means you have not spent even 50% of it.
Yeah,
so that means you have seriously underspent.
Seriously underspent.
Yeah, but then there are projects out there because this is like having money under the pillow again. The economy is okay. It's much healthier for the economy when there's a lot of money circulating, but this money, well, it's not circulating.
And here's the thing, Helmut. I don't know why the minister came and spoke about tax reforms.
Oh yeah.
Obviously, there's been the bigger discussions taking place in the National Assembly platform about, you know, trying to deal with multinationals and their stuff. But here's the thing. When it comes to a government's budgeting, and this is something I discovered also once again today, and it's just basic thinking to its effect. A government, because she's obviously citing in the one sentence that it's to try and balance and through, you know, international best practice, that tax income needs to balance to GDP discussions, which is an awesome idea,
yeah,
which is an awesome notion. But citing, obviously, she has to cite the tax incomes that we've made, the tax revenues that the state has collected, and the various efforts to try and do this. But there is a little bit of a scenario in terms of the mention to factoring in the tax discussion. Okay, partially. Let me just revise and correct myself. It's actually principle that it's actually, you know, the focal point that she cites developments in tax amendments
yeah,
regarding to try and ensure that, what Namibia's value is as a GDP equates to the tax being collected that needs to resemble that.
Yeah.
However, to great length, Helmut, is also a different discussion in terms of a government first has to spend money to try and collect the money back.
And we are not spending the money.
Yeah, it's at less than 30% of the development budget. I discovered that today from that English professor, that guy with his channel that I sent to you one time, Richard Murphy,
mm-hmm,
who is a professor in accounting from the University of Sheffield. And he explained it. Governments around the world love spinning this detail of, yeah, we first need to do some sort of tax reforms here and there and there to better collect the money in order to better spend the money. Huh? Because spending for government comes before collecting. Because he used the medieval European example about kings. What would it
sometimes be? You have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Lipurane yelo wapungwa eva tere ulikoni mando tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwefu tete opoe ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuala konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kwanda doi inawa mne udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijabweli nawa ninge Pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora isa timwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko berewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back. You know, this whole after watching the whole thing I was happy, and then we came to the agriculture part. I was happy. Like, okay, you know what, while we are doing, you know, we are doing something with the, you know, we are doing something with the, you know, with the green schemes. until he pointed out all the development budget. I was like, oh man, there goes my day. Because, out of 9 billion, spending 2 point something billion makes, you know, that basically means a lot of it, more than 50% of it, is going back to treasury, and now you have a recycling problem.
It's not a problem, Helmut.
It's
literally not a problem. It just shows us what is the issue.
Look, I'm calling it a problem because for this money must be somewhere there in circulation. Someone out there could have gotten a tender. You know,
someone out there could have
bought a blue Lambo. Someone out there, but
that car will not be able to drive a Namibia. I'll even tell you today, Helmut.
Yeah.
Even the Lamborghini dealership in South Africa will tell you, no. You're not driving in that farm.
How many speed humps do you have in window?
Alone. The speed humps will destroy that poor car. But yeah, literally the Lamborghini guys in South Africa will tell you, no, you're not driving. You're not driving this thing in that farm of a country.
But this is not a farm. We have the best roads.
Yeah. When you come to Windhoek, it's about in Windhoek.
So it's basically urban areas that are a problem. So, like freeways.
It's your daily wear and tear, your daily drive, your daily commute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why Toyota and the German brands are king here. You know, they run open toes.
I've seen a BMW i8 like twice.
Yeah, but how much does an i8 cost?
That thing is just as low to the ground as most...
It's one i8. It's the same guy, Helmut. You saw the same guy twice.
Yeah.
There's a guy driving a Porsche in my neighborhood. A Porsche GTRS.
Those cars are like the same, you know, have the same ground clearance. Like
that too. And plus, a Porsche...
How do they navigate all these speed humps, though?
I'll tell you how. Have you ever seen someone trying to, you know, walk... Very gently on an unsecure surface or an insecure, let's for example say it's like walking a tightrope.
I'm risking titanium bolts, you know.
Literally. So when they come to speed up, they literally slow down just to roll one wheel, the one hind wheel, the other hind heel. And then they drive away. Just to get the next speed up in the same street, stop again, roll.
100 meters away from.
It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. You could have basically just driven that supercar in Swakop, but then you would have driven from one side of Swakop to the other side of Swakop in 10 minutes. But I can't take Swakop seriously. I know this. I've got family that lives there as well, but I can't take that place seriously.
Okay, Swakop, just in case you want to know, that's Dwight.
Hey, listen, man.
Go on.
All those coastal guys anyway have an issue with us guys here from inner Namibia.
Hey, what do we do?
It's just, I don't know, it's just some sort of a weird rivalry thing. I couldn't understand it from school to high school to playing club rugby to even just playing basic hockey, dude. But yeah. That's the situation. So yeah, you are right. Yeah. Someone could have had their Lambo.
Yeah.
In a lovely blue color, a lovely blue shade. I'm talking about the tractor, ne? I'm not talking about this actual supercar.
I have so many questions, but let's move on.
No, Lamborghini makes tractors.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. It's just...
That's where they basically started before they...
Yeah, that was their actual basis.
Yeah.
Peugeot started with, guess what? Artillery shells.
What's it about war?
It's the quickest money to make. If you've got a factory, it's the quickest money to make. That's what Sony did. Sony was making screws for airplanes. Mitsubishi was making the engine for the plane. Bentley and Rolls-Royce are still making fighter jet engines
yeah.
And airplane engines. So it was their core business. Mercedes-Benz made, was it the Messerschmitt engine or was it the Stuka engine?
Most of these guys, especially the tech guys, are still deep in bed with the military industrial complex.
Oh, of course.
That's basically where they make most of their money. The rest of these things are just a side hustle.
If you want to be chopping money and you want to be seeing how the things you're producing are working, that is the industry to be.
Yep.
That is where Namibia should be investing in.
No, don't worry about an asteroid when it comes to what will destroy humanity. That will destroy humanity. Because, what makes the most money, kills the most people.
I mean, it's the most unethical business to be in.
Yep.
But here's the thing, it's the same statement I made yesterday.
You know, Tura boys are the problem. Oh, yeah, come on, they just learn from the best.
And it's literally a statement I made yesterday. Yeah. You know, you can make an ethical product. The gun, the pistol is ethical. But you need to sell it to the procurement of Nampol. It's how Nampol uses that gun. And whether or not that gun shows up somehow in South Africa.
Eastern Cape gang warfare.
You know? Or you make certain particular armored vehicles for NDF. It's how NDF uses those vehicles. The vehicle is ethical, Helmut.
Yeah, but an armored vehicle, that's the best thing you can make.
Yeah, and the South Africans export a lot of armored vehicles to the British Army, to the American Army. I mean, for some reason now, Trump is trying to make things look hostile, but they've had wonderful trade relations. To the extent that they literally supplied hardware to the British and the Americans in Afghanistan and in Iraq. Do you know that the American Humvee was so, what's the word? It was so, not poorly designed, but it was a car that was supposed to provide the protection for the inhabitants in the car.
Yeah, servicemen, yeah.
And the unfortunate thing, what was the issue, was that these improvised explosive devices, which were usually roadside bombs and the likes, the Humvee was not designed for that kind of a protection detail. Okay. So they would sometimes put on extra, what do you call it, metal sheets for armor and stuff like that, and design certain things around the windows and the likes. Yeah. But it still was not effective because in many cases, what the IEDs did was they would cut through the bottom of the car. What did the South Africans design? And I'm talking about since 2000 up until 2015. Even though Jay-Z was involved there with that company in South Africa, there. August 26th, whose name is actually Danielle. The company's name is Danielle.
Yeah, they made, actually they made one of my favorite,
They are the guys that made the first helicopter that can turn upside down to change course.
I know those guys made one of the most feared sniper rifle.
Not just that. Danielle made a car that was used in Afghanistan and Iraq, Helmut, that literally survived IEDs. The British showed up with that Land Rover Defender of theirs.
Oh, man.
Which the Israelis also used. Ne?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good for policing impacts and urban warfare scenarios, but it was poor against protecting the inhabitants from...
What chassis did they put that on?
What?
Like, yeah.
No, literally, they showed up with a Land Rover Defender.
Yeah, I think a Defender is a good car.
It is a good car.
Yeah.
But as urban warfare advanced, the need for new technology advances.
Yeah, but of course, this is not going to be your standard Land Rover.
No.
Yeah.
But here's the downside, Helmut. It could protect the soldiers inside the car from IEDs, improvised explosive devices, and especially roadside IEDs.
Compared to Humvees.
Both were disasters. And they both bought the various South African personnel carrier cars. I don't know if the one's name is Roadhog or something Hound, but the car literally, Helmut, the IED explodes. You can stand on the IED and the landmine. Yeah, the tire will be shot or be destroyed. Nothing will have happened to the inhabitants of the car.
Okay, aren't you just sitting ducks at this point of whoever set up that?
At least you survived.
Yeah, that's true. But now let's just come back to that developmental, more like is a developmental budget of 9 billion. We only spend 2 point something billion. I'm looking at this. I have a myriad way I'm looking at this. One is Procurement Act needs amendment pronto. Now I think the most tricky thing now for lawmaker is to balance again. To balance regulating where this money is going to make sure that it's not disappearing into thin air, and also basically leaving room for the entities that are being regulated to make sure that they are able to basically operate and deliver on what they are being regulated on, and also pay. Now, because this kind of also factors into unemployment.
Maybe.
Yeah, low key factors in there because, if you don't have, if you have this money sitting there and it's not circulating there, then someone that could have won a tender did not win a tender.
Helmut.
And their employees are now demanding salary increment, not firing shots, of
Helmut.
Course.
Mm. The opinion piece itself of our discussion yesterday literally showed direct investors, foreign investors.
Foreign investors. And how they are being negatively impacted by
because
policies,
of, old legislation. Not bad. Because I tried reading that act that fertilizers, farm stocks.
Yeah, the one the ministry relied on to basically not give them all the, you know, the green lights.
No, the registrar of that. Registration process.
Yeah, that I mean, that case is a case that like five respondents.
Yeah, and at the heart of it, what was the issue? The issue there was that the agriculture minister, and I'm sorry to say this, I suspect because the window in terms of when these events occurred is that the agriculture minister would have been the predecessor that's currently on trial, but. The office of the minister was supposed to firstly respond and say, yes, we received your appeal and the process will now start to give obviously feedback to the aggrieved party, which is that company. And secondly, to cite that so many days from now, within these 5 days, an appeal board will be set up in order to scrutinize the decision that the registrar made and the appeal that was made by this aggrieved company. Which is the basis for that court case, obviously. Don't worry, dear listeners, we won't go into the nitty-gritties, but I'm just highlighting the point here primarily. Yes, Helmut, you do have a point there in terms of saying this.
Unemployment.
Yeah, this 6-point-something billion Namibian dollars is
unspent.
Just. Unspent. 6.4 billion that's just unspent, sitting there, could have unlocked more jobs. I'm still out there.
Skeptical.
I'm highly skeptical of that statement, but you are right. You are right. It could have unlocked opportunities.
Yeah.
The thing also was, you can go into, details of like these isolated incidents, like our discussion of triple P's and this particular opinion piece where this, gentleman obviously divulges himself, you know, the sort of like, if we can call it the, not seeing each other elements, ultimately meaning disputes between public and private sector. We've got an ad break, guys, coming up.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Welcome back. We continue. 15 minutes to the hour of 6. We're still with, in the our 2025-2026 national budget review.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are a lot of things that were pointed out in terms of all the positivities that have happened with regards to what we have done as a country with with the money that was distributed, obviously, to different ministries and different SOEs. And how much of it has been spent and how much of it has not been spent? And again, this is not something that's only happening this year. Happens all the time with basically all countries.
Mm.
Yeah. So because now what you're looking at, is how do you like the window you have to the time frame you are dealing with is just something else. You have March, right? You have March, April, May, June, July.
No, don't count March. March is the end.
March is the end of the financial.
So it's 1 April, then you...
It's 1 April, yeah, thank you. So you have April, May, June, July, August, September.
Mm. And then October once again, midterm budget review. And then you sit with November. We don't know about December.
Don't count December.
Half of Jan, Feb.
Yeah.
And then March.
One thing is for sure, don't count December.
And the whole of March is technically there, Helmut, because I've worked in advertising before.
March is basically a transition period.
No, it's basically a get your paperwork in order period.
Get your paperwork in order? What paperwork? Because, the financial plans for next year, they are required to submit those before the end of the year, of this year.
Which is by end of December.
Yeah.
But, why I
said... And we know that no one is working in December, so basically by the end of November.
Technically, supposed to be. But the whole of March is like a whole accounting process. So in many cases you...
So March is the busiest time for accountants?
No, March is the busiest time for the government. Look, a company, the private sector,
can have
your
any
financial
month
year, any year, running from 1 month in the 1 year to the next. As long as it's potentially within a, you've declared when your accounting period or processes.
Mm-hmm.
You declare that to Namara. So that Namara knows, okay, so you need to come and submit things at this time frame. Even though Namara will come and tell you, like, for personal filing, that's now for us, the individuals, you have up until this particular date and time, for submitting your personal filings. The discussion with, when it comes to the government's financial year is that whole of March, sometimes you'll see a whole bunch of ads being placed because I worked in advertising. As the departments are now trying to spend the money, because they will be asked, their executive directors will be asked, why did you not spend this money?
So now you have to provide an explanation. Okay.
Yeah, because the budget was set there for them to implement or to start something, which feeds back to your answer. Hence the reason why I went like, not entirely.
50-50.
Not even 50-50, because... Here's the thing, Amut. If they now try to spend the money in March or get all the invoices and get the paperwork ready to submit to Minister of Finance because they have to submit it to their finance department and their ministry, and that ministry reports to the finance ministry about, money spent and what was not spent and what was put back. And we obviously heard from the minister herself that money was relocated from somewhere else to push where to do something
that happens all the time, right?
Which happens every financial year in the government.
Yeah.
The discussion from this points towards, it's a partial positive in your question or in your statement by saying this could have been activity.
Someone could have gotten an opportunity out of that. Yeah.
Economic activity could have been unlocked in this window, but it has not been. Now, what you will primarily see, Hamoud, is that the financial plans that we did of the procurement plans, which are the fund, which is basically the money spending plans of the local entities that we, of our discussion of last week, procurement and its likes, is that these plans now have to be renewed, updated, and then they have to resubmit, technically, like you and I now confirmed, technically by end of next month, November. So, the guys that have not submitted out of the 179 of our discussion last week.
Five submitted on time.
Can you guys believe this? By end of December last year. So.
Look, basically, if this was an assignment, these guys would have failed with it. What's the opposite of passing with flying colors? We would have failed with crawling colors. Now, the thing is, look, you have to most of them finds themselves.
I still see a positive in failing with crawling colors, but you said it would have been dramatically badly failed. I know how it worked on university. For every late day, there was a 10% deduction.
Boy, that's bad.
They would have had a minus. They would have had an ungraded. They would have had so bad. They would literally have been marked. this is not worth even marking.
Yeah, it's not even worth marking. I think the painful thing is that we just had our national assembly and presidential elections last year. Mm. We saw the exact same thing with political parties. And this is not something new, by the way. Financial state, submitting, you know, financial, you know, more like anything finance, both on a ministerial and an SOE level. Mm. We're not very good at that. And This, you have the same thing again, you know, you have the same thing, from central government all the way to local authorities.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Just, I'm giving you money. All I want you to do is provide me with the pieces of papers that indicates what you spend that money on. That's all I'm asking for. Nope. Okay, that's fine. Now, what I want you to do is to give me a plan of what you plan on buying next year, so I can give you money based on that plan. Still no.
Mm.
I'm so glad I know this, so no one can lecture me on this. You know, just do these things.
And now you also have to say, governments actually first have to spend money to collect the money back.
Precisely.
They first have to spend the money to collect the money back.
Now they want to collect money, they are not spending. You guys are not serious.
Davichi University, where the 2026 applications are now open for the Faculty of Law, Commerce, and Education. For the programs, Diploma in Legal Studies, Level 6, Bachelor in Laws Honors, Bachelor of Science in Project Management Honors, Bachelor of Supply Chain Management Honors, Bachelor of Education in Senior Primary Education Honors for Math and Science for the grades 4 to 7, and Bachelor of Education in Secondary Education Honors for Math and Science for the grades 8 to 12. Application fee is $230 million. Application deadline is 30 November 2025. For more information, please call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Davichi University, where everyone is an achiever. Namibia, are you ready to win big? Coca-Cola is giving away up to $1 million Namibian in prizes. Every week, one lucky winner walks away with $10,000 cash. All you have to do is grab your favorite Coke, Fanta, Sprite, Stony, or Twist in 2 liters, 1.25 liters, or 600 ml bottles. Look under the yellow cap, dial *142*45845, # punch in your code, follow the prompts to enter, and just like that, you could be our next big winner. Refresh, enjoy, and win with Coca-Cola. T's and C's apply. Go to our social media pages to watch the video on how to enter the competition.
There are bright side, though, on our midterm budget review. There are a lot of positive, you know. There are a lot of positives in terms of, development wise, not just, not just operations, because I think for those of us that are outside the public sector in terms of employment, well, you know, we like to focus more on the development, the expenditure. The expenditure budget. That one is equally important, because even though we're in the private sector, we do use the public, public services.
Mm.
So, both budgets are just equally important. So, especially the one for agriculture. Oh no. I know we like to put in terms of investment, in terms of developmental discussion, we like to talk more about extractive industry, but things like agriculture, that is more feasible, is more closely to, you know, to being achieved in terms of possibilities compared to the extractive industry. Because it's easy for me to participate in the agriculture sector than the extractive industry. So it's easy for me to get direct benefit in terms of, you know, potato salad chips from the agricultural sector than the extractive industry. Yeah, I know it has a massive return on investment, but the requirements are just not reachable for a lot of us. Yeah, in terms of benefits. So, agriculture, spot on. And that brings... Oh, man, time is flying. Yeah, but just to squeeze quickly. That was chicken that liked to make fun of a lot of politicians on how they say quickly. Unless you can easily guess the region. You the developer.
Elwood, really, you and the region, you guys need to come and sit around a table and talk to each other. And I think there will be a lot more people attending that side, on the other side of the table, than you. You know, you can only multiply that many times.
I know. Look, man. About the youth. No.
Yeah.
I'm reading here.
I know. I'm trying.
Yeah. So, the National Youth Development Fund was launched in September of this year in Hobabi Somaheke region. 11,475 applicants, applications were received from all 14 regions. And of this application, 6,111 projects were submitted through Development Bank of Namibia, of which 5,070 agricultural applications by Agribank and 294 eco-friendly projects. I'm assuming these are the environmentally friendly, you know, CBAM friendly type of projects. 294 eco-friendly projects by the Environmental Investment Fund. From these 42 successful projects and 3 from each of the 14 regions valued at 14.8 million were awarded and presented at the launch. What I'm hearing is 14.8 million was spent.
Well, there's another particular thing.
Okay, go on.
I was just now reading on this other WhatsApp group of journalists.
Oh, dear.
The finance minister read a particular part of a speech based upon the Commerce District Hospital.
Yeah.
Remember the hospital that I made fun of, highlighting that it's the hospital that we were invited to as the media to. We were advised you must have a 4x4 to reach the
area. I remember.
Last year for a groundbreaking with shovels, you know. Now, the minister cited specifically in a speech, like right now, today, that the hospital itself, the 500-bed Commerce Hospital, Commerce District Hospital in the Havana constituency, will form a key part of the national healthcare infrastructure, helping to meet the increasing demand for quality healthcare services in the capital and the surrounding areas in line with the NDP6. Activity for phase one of the project commenced in April of 2025 for the bulk access roads and the water infrastructure. You know, you obviously first need to lay the foundational things, you know.
Access roads. That means once the facility is running, the patients are not going to need Land Cruisers to get there.
No.
Okay.
Now we're
getting something.
And the electrical services works had commenced in July of this year. To date, 40% progress completion has been achieved, and this place is on track to be completed by December 2025. However, a video was shown
of how excellent the project is going.
Yeah. As you can see, I'm just showing you the still of the video.
When
I play it, just look at the background.
The project, it is going wonderfully, as in there's still green grass behind the person doing the video. Now.
Obviously, you know, it's in the pipeline.
It's in the pipeline. The bottom line is someone, got a tender. Guys, just don't buy a fleet of blue Lambos. Just build the hospital, please.
Well, you can see the feedback that the minister is giving is actually that there's something, on track. Something's happening. For example, like at this stage, they were shaking hands in front of a JCB earth moving equipment.
I don't know who came up with this whole groundbreaking things, but I find it very.
Yeah, I poked fun once at one of our colleagues in here. I won't mention names.
Mm-hmm.
He has to come in after us. About, look, I don't understand groundbreakings. You're showing me four executives standing with a shovel.
Well, it's called a ceremony. It's basically ceremonial.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's not what
I know.
That's technically what people don't want to see. That's technically also we can explain here on air to our listeners, saying, yeah, four executives in suits were standing with hard hats and ceremonial shovels. And people are like, what? Yeah, they were supposedly breaking ground. They were shoveling the first shovel, but you can see the JCB behind them or the caterpillar behind them. That thing is already broken, every kind of ground already. to the
just
same
by weight.
Just the same day.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so it's more of a, you know, I don't know, PR?
Of course it's all PR. It's all PR slop.
Okay.
And then there's obviously also the notion of, you know, donations. Hey, we're donating. Please, we're shaking hands. Take a photo. What did you donate? Ah, you know what, it's just run-of-the-mill things, you know.
Yeah, I watched a video for one guy that was, you know, that made a, you know, serious, funny video on that, where a bunch of guys with, like, parcels of what looked like food knocked on his door to give him food. So he opened the door and saw that it's a bunch of guys with that were donating something, and there was a camera guy ready.
Mm.
Went back in and put on his suit. Then, you know, held the products, and he positioned them like he was handing them to the guy that was giving it. After the pictures, I was like, okay, have a good one. Then went in his house with the food. Excellent idea. Now,
delivery took place.
Yeah, well, delivery.
Handover was done.
Yeah, handover was done. To the thing is, according to the pictures, the handing over was done by the guy that was receiving the stuff.
Of course. He knew how to play the game because he was handing over. He did a lot of handovers in his life.
Well, I think, okay, why they do that, I don't know, maybe it's one of those pictorial reports, because I know one of the reports we had to compile for the Sounds of Nam project was a pictorial report.
Mm.
We had to take a lot of pictures and a lot of videos because we compiled a written report.
Mm.
And also a pictorial one where you have basically a bunch of pictures and captions. Like I think about it was 12 pages of it. And you had a video one. You basically have you created a montage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of all the shows that you did. Basically send all that. So I totally get the whole picture taking thing. But the whole concept of groundbreaking,
I really don't understand it. Mm. I really don't understand it. But it's probably because we're just 3 million people, you know, that we can communicate. Hey, we've got people with shovels in their hands. Who probably the last time they used shovels was like 35 years ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. Not a long time ago. The last time they used a, you know, well, they held, not used, held a shovel was 2 years ago at another groundbreaking. So, ladies and gentlemen. Until tomorrow, same time, same place on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM, from yours truly here. You all have a blessed evening, and please do stay tuned for business and economic segment that's with David Shombe.
Same time, same place again tomorrow, guys. Enjoy the rest of your programming in our company.